Very good evening to all of you. Welcome to the Lord's house. When we talk of the charismatic movement, please understand it is a creature of the late 20th century. Its roots, however, are founded in the Pentecostal movement, which originated in America at the beginning of the 20th century. The movement itself took off only in the second half, and right now it is blossoming, booming. I have this little extract from the internet. Very instructive. 2 points. The charismatic movement is the fastest growing segment of the body of Christ today, worldwide, with more than 600 million adherents globally. More than 1 in 4 Christians today are either Pentecostal or charismatic. Secondly, apart from size, the charismatics are also among the most fervent of Christians. For example, 9 in 10 charismatics believe God is a creator, all-powerful, who still rules over the whole universe. Secondly, the great commandment that thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul, mind and strength is believed by 90% of charismatics. At least they subscribe to this great commandment. And as for Bible reading, more than half of charismatics report that they read the Bible at least once a week. Whereas with the normal run of Christians, they do not. So that is something of the internet. During the Japanese years, I used to attend a Pentecostal church in Balestier Road. At that time, the BB Church was not born yet. So it was quite interesting and illuminating to go to... At that time, this was the parent of the charismatic movement, Pentecostal. In essence, the general structure of the worship is like ours. The only thing is the pastor from time to time breaks forth into tongues and suddenly you hear him speak something else. Instead of preaching the gospel, he is bursting into ecstatic utterances. So at this point, we ask the question, what is the chief mark of the charismatic movement? The chief distinguishing feature is tongues and so-called healing. So I have here a couple of OHPs to help us understand. First, the word charisma. Dictionary says it is a gift of God's grace, and the Chinese Lingen expresses it quite well. Now we will be interested in what is the gift that is spoken about, because you know in Chinese the Ling itself does not necessarily mean Holy Spirit. It could be some other spirit. Now, regarding the chief mark of the charismatic movement, which is tongues. If you turn to the dictionary, either Webster or Chambers, this is the kind of explanation or definition. Tongues, in the context of what we are talking about, is defined in two words, glossolalia or gibberish. Glossolalia is defined as ecstatic utterance, something you sort of cannot avoid it. It just springs up from you. You're moved by another force, another spirit in you, and you burst up. Usually, this word is unintelligible, not unintelligent. So, please read unintelligible sounds. To us, it is so strange. To them, it's very normal. Gibberish is explained as rapid, incoherent talk and unintelligible chatter. Most of them will feel rather insulted if we tell them it's incoherent and I can't understand what he's talking about. So whether we understand, that's our business, but they feel very good about it. So that is two definitions for you. Now let's turn to the Word of God. And our instruction must always come from that word. A verse which we had just read a moment ago is from John 16, verse 13. John 16, 13 explains very clearly what the Holy Spirit does. Please remember, when our Lord was on earth, He was the teacher. The disciples came to Him. So oftentimes, to be instructed. Now He says it is expedient. Meaning to say, this is God's plan. God's plan is that the Lord Jesus comes, teaches, lives the life of a man, and then He goes as our sacrifice to die and to pay the price of our sin and to rise from the dead to conquer death for us. Then He ascends to heaven and completes His work. This is expedient. God's plan is such. Then does the work cease? No. It comes at the day of Pentecost. This is the final chapter of God's work amongst us by the Holy Spirit. So the Lord says, verse 13, that gives you the context. When He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. In the earlier chapter, the Lord Jesus says, I will not leave you comfortless. You feel so bereft, as though you have become orphans, and my presence with you is no more, and you feel that you are so lonely, deserted. No. Jesus says this is His plan, because the teaching will now come not from Him, physically present, but in spirit. He says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. I will return to you. As what? As the person of the Holy Spirit. And this is what we are talking about. The Spirit of Jesus continues the work. Only is invisible. And is everywhere around the world. Now read. Verse 13 in John 16. when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, and he is the Spirit of Jesus, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. Mark the important phrase is, he will guide you into all truth. So anything that is purported to come out of the ecstatic utterances of these in the charismatic movement that does not accord with the truth of God cannot be of the Holy Spirit. And that is the understanding we get out of this verse. Were they speaking languages or tongues in today's understanding? When the day of Pentecost came, this is a question we have to answer in order to understand what the tongues are today that they speak. Please turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. And follow carefully out of this passage of Scripture describing what happened according to the promise of our Lord Jesus, who said to his disciples, ye shall be my witnesses after that the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and ye shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And that message came on the day of Pentecost. Now we read Acts 2:1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven, as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire. Verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now here is a crucial point. They were about to speak. What were they going to say? Is it the tongues of the charismatic movement today, or was it something else? This is crucial, and we must understand this from the description of the text of Acts chapter 2, verse 5. And they were dwelling in Jerusalem, Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. What were they doing there? We pause for a moment and consider. This was Pentecost, one of the most important festivals, and all the Jews were required to return to Jerusalem in order to keep that special day. So they were there from all sorts of places, like as it were, we overseas Chinese are spread all over the world. But on a special day, we are called back to China, which does not happen, mind you. None of us goes back to China. But for the Jews, there was Pentecost. And all the Jews were back there in Jerusalem. And this is what happened. The description is of a historic event. Jews in Jerusalem, and naturally if they come from Rome, they speak Italian or Latin. And if you come from Turkey, they speak Turkish language. From Spain, we'll speak Spanish. From Germany, we'll be German, and so on and so forth. Different dialects, different languages. Now, verse 6. This is what happened. Listen carefully. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, amazed, stupefied. What is this we're hearing? Every man heard them speak in his own language. Nothing about what I gave you, the definition, unintelligible, ecstatic utterance. We had a young lady come to our prayer meeting some years ago, and as we began to pray, she began to talk in tongues. And it was so strange. We couldn't understand what she was saying. But she went on. That is the mark of the charismatic movement. One of my colleagues said, my daughter went to England to study. And she happened to go to one of these charismatic meetings. And every time they say, why don't you also speak in tongues like us? After several times, she got so mad with them. She says, now let me give it in tongues. She spoke out her Fu Chao. And when she began to speak in Fu Chao, all the English were so happy. Now, you got it. You got the gift. So this is kind of trickery in return for their ecstatic utterances of unintelligible, and they insist. You talk to them, you debate with them, and they insist this is Holy Spirit. But we doubt, because the Holy Spirit only guides us into truth and not into unintelligible sounds. Now this is what happened on the day of Pentecost, and they cannot by any means identify their utterances with what happened at Pentecost. For they all heard them speak in their own language. Verse 7. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How come we hear every one of them in our own tongue, our own language, wherein we were born? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers in Mesopotamia, in Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, in Egypt, in parts of Libya, and Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews, and proselytes, all these, and Cretes and Arabians. Wow. How many languages? At least a dozen. And they heard what? The marvel of the gospel of Jesus Christ. The things of God they heard. And they heard the same message, only in different languages. Verse 11. We do hear them speak in our tongues the wonderful works of God. It was understandable, intelligible, and it struck them in the heart because there was a message spoken to them. Verse 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying, what meaneth this? But others mocking, saying, these people must be drunk. This was to make fun of them. Now comes verse 14, Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said, you men of Judea, listen. We who have been speaking in tongues just now, they tell you this. You that dwell at Jerusalem, be it known unto you and hearken to my voice, these are not drunken. We are not drunk. Very sound and sane. But verse 16, this is that which was spoken by the prophet, and so on. The rest, read for yourself. What does this passage tell us? Present day tongues and ecstatic utterances are not the tongues of the Bible, which were languages. So they, in no way can they pass off that as Holy Spirit. It cannot be Holy Spirit. Now what else come out of the charismatic movement? Tongues. The next one is prophecies. They claim they can prophesy and they can talk things that you don't understand. And the to keep this preposterous claim is they say, "Thus said the Lord." Then they begin to talk in tongues. And you say, "What are you talking about?" They say, "We'll interpret." So they pick one of their own people to stand up and say, "I'm interpreting for what that person is saying." And so it goes on. It's a kind of a show. "Thus said the Lord" is a very bold claim. Dear friend, do you understand? If I ever say, "Thus said the Lord," I only then read what is recorded as God's words from the Bible. Then you can, I'm reading, "Thus said the Lord, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and soul and mind and strength." That is what God says. There's nothing wrong with that. But when the man stands up and says, "Thus said the Lord, I had a vision and I was told I'm to marry you to the young lady." And the young lady is taking the start and she believes, and they get married. Within 2 weeks, great flare up. When she woke up and said, "Look, I'm cheated," the whole thing blew up. Now, this is not fairy tale. This is actual happening. So that exposes the "Thus said the Lord," how a person has the audacity to stand up and say, "Thus said the Lord," and then follows with some other thing that the Lord never said so. So such expressions belong to the class of blasphemy. You know what is blasphemy? To attribute to God something which is totally foreign to God. And you are insulting God. So as far as prophecies is concerned, and they claim to have prophets and translators, I say all this is part of a show. Please understand, the charismatic movement is a development. It evolved only in the second half of last century, the 20th century. Whereas its parent body originated at the beginning of the 20th century in the place in California called Azusa Street. And there was a small group that began to talk in tongues and to worship in tongues and so on and so forth. Now those groups were on the whole Bible-believing fundamental groups. And they were small and they were more or less scriptural. Today it is a totally different action altogether. Now what else do they claim? Tongues? Prophecies? The next one is the most famous, most arresting claim of healing. Faith healing. Now this has got universal application. And it is very captivating and attractive. You go to any city and begin a publicity campaign to say, "So-and-so, renowned faith healer is coming." And with that publicity, you build up. And on the day, 30,000, 40,000 will come to the stadium and to hear a great faith healer. Who are these healers? I name you some names. You may have heard of them. Oral Roberts. Kathleen Coleman. She's dead and gone. John Wimber. Benny Hinn. Now he is quite famous on television. Some of you would have seen him. And when he commands a crowd of 30, 40,000, it's something. And someone who has come to Singapore, Reinhard Bonnke. These people claim to have power to heal. Now, as a medical person, and you as a non-medical, you can say exactly the same thing. I challenge you. I take you to Singapore General Hospital, to the chronic sick ward, and there are full of patients with incurable disease, cancers come with me, Mr. Reinhard Bonnke? He says, no, no, I cannot go there. I can only perform my act on my own ground. There must be the stage, there must be my props, and then we can perform. It is a performance, dear friends, it is a performance. Kathleen Coleman, who held the stage for years and years in America, had all the sick ones on crutches and stretchers and wheelchairs come in. And at the end of the session, the same people go out the same way. If anything, it is worse. Whereas the healing, a lot of hype, a lot of psychological effects, and a lot of public makeup, dear friends. The deception is immense. My own brother had a son. He's still alive. He suffered from epilepsy. And hearing this, he went. And of course, you give gifts because you're so happy, so grateful. And he prayed and he put his hands on. Today, the child is no more a child. He's about 40 years ago. So he's about 50 years now. Is he better? Oh, dear friends, this kind of healing is the greatest hoax on earth. Publicity is built up until there is great expectation. People come by the thousands, and then there is so-called healing, and then they go home, hip hip hooray, and then they go home back to square one. When John Wimber was challenged in England, when he went there, he's the greatest of the faith healers in America. The doctors there, the Christian doctors, challenged him. We will give you 4 or 5 doctors certified to check on the cases you claim to have healed. No, thank you very much. We don't need such identification. So any challenge that is on a scientific basis is declined, politely declined. Dear friends, the deception is so immense. Healing is nowhere to be found. Of course, were you better after that healing process? Oh yes, I'm better. My backache feels better. I used to have insomnia, now I sleep better. Dear friends, these I call subjective healings, not objective. When it is objective, means I give you a case of cancer. Now you heal for me to see. Does God heal cancers today? Answer is yes. God's power is not curtailed, not reduced. But God has a purpose, a plan, and a will. It's not by our demand, or by our command, or by our appointment that God must heal this within this time. No. It is totally in God's plan. By the way, why do we get cancers? Why? It is part of the curse of the fall of man. From the time Eve and Adam fell, mankind came under the curse of death, and death comes in many forms, so that it is inevitable. Some of us here will get diabetes, high blood pressure, all kinds of other sicknesses, including cancer. You cannot avoid it. You like to live long? Once you pass 60, 70, 80, you fall into the range of many diseases, cardiovascular diseases, degenerative diseases, things like Alzheimer's will catch up with you even if you don't like it. It comes on. And very soon you become a vegetable. You don't know what's happening. Why is it? Can God not heal? Yes. God can heal, but it is His prerogative. In a sinful world, a sin-filled world, we suffer these things because they are effects of Adam's sin that causes the curse to fall upon us. So what do we do? When we are sick, what do you do? Firstly, pray. If you turn to James chapter 5, verse 16, 14, 15, 16, it says, maybe we'll just read it quickly for you. The Epistle of James chapter 5 verse 14. Is any sick among you? James 5:14. Call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up according to his will. It's not inevitable, and I say it for today, what do you do? When you're sick, we will come and pray for you, but there is no assurance that because I pray, your cancer will disappear. No, dear friends. We are living in a world cursed by sin. And while God can heal, He does not heal. Why? Not always. There are rare, rare cases where people have certified, pathologically certified cancer, and surgeon open and close as they cannot heal, cannot treat. And the patient goes home and lives for another 20 years. Yes, these cases are not unknown. God can heal. God can delay death. But eventually, there's one that nobody can heal. Not even God will heal. That is old age. Yes, we all die from old age. So when you get into that bracket, you're going to say, elders, come and heal me of my old age. Nobody will heal you of the old age. So these are the facts of charismatic movement. Now finally, this is something most startling. Whereas they began as a work of the Holy Spirit, to know the will of God and to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ, today this movement is the number one force that is moving Protestantism back to Rome. Do you know that? The leaders of this charismatic movement, the Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. Ever heard of it? Full Gospel Businessmen's Fellowship. The president, called Mr. Du Plessis, had an audience with the Pope as the honored guest because he's the champion of back to Rome. All my people who speak in tongues, we are now headed back to Rome because we have recognized the Father there is the Holy Father, is the head of the church, and that church in Rome is the mother church. We all must return. This movement today is sweeping. It's just begun not too long ago, but it is sweeping. Sweeping what? The charismatics back to Rome. We now, church, we understand because being biblically trained and obedient and stressing all the time, biblical separation. If that group does not preach the church the truth of God out of the Bible, have no fellowship with that group. Now these people, they stress on what? Tongues, healing, prophecies, miracles, and the miracles erupt. Protestantism, Roman Catholicism, go to a place called Medjugorje or Fatima, and they are full of miracles. Amazing. You say, Holy Spirit. Yes. So they believe. So they are persuaded. You know what deception is? How do you deceive a person? You deceive a person by being so like the truth, but not the truth. Do you understand? I give you a $50 note. It looks exactly like the real $50 note, except it hasn't got the watermark. And you will be mistaken and taken in and fooled. So, when everything is so like the truth, miracles on this side, miracles on that side, tongue speaking with our church, tongue speaking in the Roman Catholic Church, we are one. So together they have rallied. You know how many thousand people came? 1980? 300,000 people came. Protestants, Roman Catholics, all stand up and praise the Lord, hug each other. Now we are one in Christ. Dear friends, we've spoken of this movement called charismatic movement. The identifying mark is tongues, prophecies, utterances, healings, miracles, signs and wonders. Please turn now to the Word of God in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7. And the Lord Jesus was not ignorant of these things to come. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 15. Matthew 7:15. Beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing. Inwardly they are ravening wolves. Verse 21. Not everyone that says to me in that day, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. And by the way, I say, take heed, dear friends. Unless and until you have come to Jesus to confess Him as Savior, and forsake all other ways of salvation, and follow Him earnestly, honestly, and truthfully, on that day, the Lord will say, I never knew you. Please read now, verse 21. Not everyone that comes to me and says, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. What is the will of my Father? Is the will of my Father to go and learn to speak in tongues? You know, they say, you don't know, we can coax you, know. We coach you to speak. After a few lessons, you'll be pretty good as we are also. What kind of teaching is this? And people gullibly believe and they go for coaching session. What did you go for? To learn how to talk in tongues. Amazing. This is going on. Yes. They even give you instructions, printed notes, how to go home and practice your tongue that it can roll and it can come out with the same kind of gibberish. And that is a sign of Holy Spirit. Oh, dear friends, please be wise. This is what the Lord says. Verse 22. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? In thy name have cast out devils. Oh, yes. The other thing I did not mention is that exorcism. You have a spirit in you. That's why you are sick. So we must cast out the fever demon. Cast out. And of course, after you've taken the Panadol and other things, you get well. You say, wonderful, we've cast out the demon. There are so many demons. Everything is due to demon. In thy name have we not cast out devils, in thy name done many wonderful works. Now comes the crunch. Verse 23. Then will I profess unto them. Who is saying this? Please understand. Who is saying? Jesus. When he was on earth, he saw down the ages that in the 20th, 21st century, there will be a movement called the charismatic movement. And they will come forth and tell all kinds of lies in the name of the Holy Spirit And Jesus will say to them, I will profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Dear friends, today things are not what they seem to be. Please be discerning. Know your Bible. Know your Lord. Pray for discernment that you will not be deceived in the day to come. Of course, in this church we are well protected. But you go outside and by sheer numbers they overwhelm you. And you think, wow, it must be alright. 300,000, all hands up and all praising the Lord. What kind of unity this is? Very intimidating. Yes, you say, of course, Rome is right. We all are headed for Rome. And then we will all be one together, one in Christ. You speak in tongues, I speak in tongues. You have miracles, I have miracles. We must be one in Christ. Deception is more strange than you think. How can you deceive except it looks like the real thing? So it is. Charismatic movement today is the fastest growing movement, not of the Holy Spirit, but of the another spirit, the evil spirit. God help us that you understand and love the Lord. Come to Him every day. Love Him morning, noon and night. Speak to Him and let His Spirit Himself teach you what is the truth, and the truth will set you free. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, teach us thy truth, O Lord. May the Holy Spirit instruct us out of thy own holy book, that we may discern and understand the signs of the times, even the appearance of this strange movement called the charismatic movement that is sweeping around the world. Hear our prayer. Bless our people. In Jesus' name, Amen.